word. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We're going to read this portion of Scripture, one of my favorite portions of Scripture. And then I'm going to have you go to 1 John chapter 5 in just a minute. But let's read this, then we'll pray. We're going through a series that I think is so important, so important. We're working on turning this into some kind of a publication at some point. I don't know exactly what format that's going to be in. But, you know, the buzz phrase across America is mental health. And there's been a huge spotlight placed on mental health issues in our country. And I'm not going to reintroduce and reteach everything we have. But I believe that most of the people that are dealing with what they would call mental health issues is simply folks that have gotten away from the Word of God and how it teaches us to think. Because folks, when we decide we're going to push God out of the equation, we're going to replace it with something. And when they decided they didn't want the Bible and prayer in our public schools in the 1960s, it did get replaced with a different religion. And that's the religion of humanism. And the religion of humanism teaches thinking patterns that are destructive, self-destructive. And we're watching the results of that now. I mean, here we are now, over 50 years, 60 years later, dealing with crisis within our young people and our young adults, things that we would never have thought, come on, as I was growing up in my generation, that we would ever see. And why are these things playing out? Everybody's pointing at the problems, and nobody really wants to hear the solution. I said it again to a man this week, and he was talking about these shootings, and he was talking about these different things that are happening. He's talking about, you know, can we even go to the store anymore? Any place where there's a public gathering now has become a potential place for one of these things. I mean, how do we live our lives? And what's the cure? How did we get here? He said to me, come on, preacher, I said, let me tell you something. Most of what's going on could be solved if the average mom and dad would decide this Sunday that they were going to set the alarm, get up, get their kids ready, and walk them into the Sunday school class and have them just reconnect with the Word of God and what it teaches. The farther we've gotten away from the Bible, folks, the more we've become pagan and heathenistic and animalistic in our thinking and our behavior. And so these lessons are designed to get us back to this idea of thinking biblically, biblical mindsets. Anytime you think biblically and see things biblically, that produces good mental health. When you push God out of the equation, it doesn't. Now, I'm going to talk about something today that we've taught years ago, but I want to include it as part of this series, and that's this. Do you have a victim mentality or do you have a victor mentality? Victim mentality versus a victor mentality. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse number 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Did you get that? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Doesn't sound like God's wanting us to walk around with a victim mentality. It sounds like he wants us to have a victor mentality. More than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Heavenly Father, help us, Lord, to reclaim this. I'm watching this become epidemic in our nation. Lord, it seems like everyone is being recruited into this a humanistic way of thinking. And Lord, you never intended. You did not save us so that we would spend our lives with a victim's mentality. Lord, we can be more than conquerors through Christ. And then this portion of scripture, Jesus, I just want to say thank you for your great love, because it is that love that can heal someone and help someone in their thinking to be able to see what they've had to face in life and maybe what they are facing in life in a different light. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that your desire for us is to be overcomers. And so, Lord, I pray that you would use the Bible study this morning to help us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, folks, each and every one of us every day have to go out and live in this sinful world. And it just seems like the world more and more is designed to try to bring hardship into our lives. I wrote it this way: the world will attempt to overwhelm us. And you know what? It succeeds sometimes. Can I get an amen? You know, there's days where it just seems like there's more being thrown at us. And then not only what we're dealing with in our own personal circumstances, but then heaven forbid we turn on the news for a few minutes. And then, you know, have you noticed, I maybe you can help me, I haven't been able to find the news network that focuses on good news. I wish I could find, I think that's the local New Testament church. Amen. We focus on the good news. But it seems like everybody else scours the countryside to try to find things that either will shock us or discourage us, or, you know, let's highlight the devastation. Let's talk about how bad things are. And pretty soon we really can become really mentally overwhelmed, discouraged, depressed. And we become convinced that everything's bad. And then it seems like more and more we are being recruited. I believe this. I believe we are being actively recruited in our nation into having this victim's mentality. And there's hard things that are going to happen in life. Let's just make some statements here, okay? There are hard things that are going to happen in everybody's life. Hey, life is not always fair, all right? And at times you're going to be mistreated. At times you're going to be wrongfully maligned. You can suffer setbacks, and, you know, you get going and you face a roadblock, and sometimes it seems like there's people that just spend their entire life and their mission is life is to try to discourage other people. And then you got to face circumstances that you can't plan for. Just the every day, every week things that happen in every family that just make that week a little more difficult than you thought it was going to be when you started. And if you're going to spend your life looking for excuses why you can't succeed, the devil will give you a whole wheelbarrow full of them. Right. Well, you can't be anything for God because of the way you were raised. You can't be anything for God because you have this in your past. You can't be anything for God. And it's like the devil wants to give you a victim's mentality. Other people can succeed, but you can't because you're different. You have these set of circumstances and nobody understands and nobody faces quite what you face. And pretty soon we can kind of just sign off on this, just trudging through life day by day, but really not ever getting on the victory side. And I want you to warn you against that. You say, Pastor, sometimes it seems like the whole world is against me. And I tell my wife, you know what? When I hear people say that, I want to just stop them and say, hey, listen to me. The whole world is not against you. The whole world's too busy being totally against me to have time to be against you. So I know that that's not true in your life. I keep them occupied. But isn't it interesting? We can almost get to that feeling. Just like, did the whole world wake up today and conspire? Did they have a Zoom meeting, everyone in my life, to decide that they were going to just make me crazy today? And you know, we know that's not true. But isn't it interesting? If we say it enough times, we kind of buy into it. Now, listen, the whole world's not against you, but I can tell you this, as a born-again Christian, I know the devil's against you, and he's the prince and power of the air. And by the way, he's got a whole army of demons at his disposal to do his bidding. And, you know, the devil's going to try to make things hard on us, but aren't you glad greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world? And, you know, folks, listen to me. There's going to be forces, come on, unseen demonic forces that are going to work overtime to keep us discouraged. Because if they can get within us, you know, this poor me victim mentality, we're going to spend so much time, you know, looking inwardly that we stop looking outwardly at the possibilities of what our life's could do for the Lord Jesus Christ and what God might have us to do that day. But you have to decide, and I have to decide if I'm going to be overwhelmed by the world or whether I'm going to be, whether I'm with God's help, I'm going to overcome the world. I want to go take you back to 1 John now, chapter 5, because I love this little verse, and it is not a long verse. It's a verse you can very easily memorize, but in 1 John, that's towards the book of Revelation, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, 1 John chapter 5, and verse number 4. In 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4, the Bible says, "For whatsoever is born of God," by the way, that's any of us that have received Christ as our Savior. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." And this is the victory. There's the word victory, not victim, victory. This is the victory that overcometh the world. What? Even our faith, even our faith. When the world bears down on you, you're going to have to make a decision. Am I going to become a victim or am I going to be a victor through the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, the world wants you to be a victim. Our national leaders, boy, I hate to say this, but a lot of our national leaders are encouraging a victim's mentality in the general population. You know, you can control victors, but you can't, you can control victims, but you can't control victors. And the powers that be that want to control the populace is trying to create a victim mentality in the general population, okay? You can't help yourself. You can't change your circumstances. You just need to let mommy government take care of you. Because, listen, that's what they're trying to get us to. If they can convince you that you're a victim, you'll spend the rest of your life with a built-in excuse for failure. Anytime something goes wrong, well, you know what? It's because of this. It's because of this. It's because of this. Now, let me ask you some questions, okay? Are you using your circumstance as an excuse to fail or as inspiration to succeed? And I like this thought. The stones the world is throwing at you, are you allowing them to be stumbling blocks or are you allowing them to be stepping stones in your life? Because you can make the decision. You give in to a victim's mentality, you'll spend your life making excuses instead of making a difference. Now, preacher, explain a little bit more. I'm going to get really specific right now, so put your seatbelt on, okay? Because these are the things and the lies that are being sold to our young people and our young adults and our population, and sadly, too many people are buying into it. You have to decide. You're going to refuse to accept the mindset of a victim. Now, let me say some things, okay? And I'm going to say things that are absolutely opposite of what the world is telling you. Your race does not make you a victim. Your race does not make you a victim. But your mindset about your race can give you a victim's mentality. Folks, there was a big push, and this stuff has gone to craziness. But, you know, they weren't going to let it go till they got it done. But I remember 5 years ago, 7 years ago, there started to be this push that some of our professional sport teams that were named after, you know, the Washington Redskins, the Cleveland Indians, how could they take away the Cleveland Indians and name them something else? But it was like, you know what? That's offensive to people that are Indians. And ESPN was pushing this agenda, pushing this. And I remember reading an article where they actually, here's a thought, where they actually went and polled the Native American people. And you know what they found out from them? Not only were they not offended by it, but they took it as something honorable, something that allowed people to be exposed and remember their culture. But it didn't even matter that 90% of them weren't offended. It's not whether or not you're really offended. You should be offended even if you're not offended. And if you're not going to be offended, we're going to be offended for you, and we're going to push this narrative until we get this changed because it makes us feel better and it has nothing to do with the real issue. And so they took a poll. Does the name Redskins, why should Redskins offend you? 90% said, no, not offended whatsoever. Well, too bad. We're going to change it anyway. Your gender does not make you a victim. But your mindset about your gender can give you a victim's mentality. Listen, your upbringing does not make you a victim.
Sir.
You know, I've said this a lot lately to different groups. I'm out there preaching on the Navajo Indian Reservation. You know what I'm telling people? Telling people that's not got all of the advantages, and telling people that maybe weren't raised in Christian homes. You know what I tell them? God didn't make a mistake. God didn't mess up what family you were born into. God didn't mess up what race he made you. God didn't mess up where he, geographically, where he placed you. And I told this to some young people that were not raised in Christian home. I said, you know what? You weren't raised in a Christian home, but you got saved in your teenage years. And you know what? You've had to face some things that kids that are raised in a Christian home haven't had to face. Look right up here. Maybe God needed you to be just a little bit tougher.
Right. Come on.
Maybe he's using those circumstances to prepare you for something that you couldn't accomplish if you didn't have that in your background. Folks, listen to me. We've got to stop questioning God. You know, I'm a victim. Well, what are you really saying? You're really saying God hasn't been fair to me. Yes, God's been overly fair to every single one of us. You know, as I often say, don't ask for fair. Nobody ought to want fair. Well, I just want what's coming to me. No, you don't. I mean, you know what? If it wasn't by the grace of God, every single one of us, come on. We, you know what? We'd be right down there in hell beside that rich man begging for a drop of water, because every single one of us are sinners. And it wasn't for the grace of God, we wouldn't be saved. We wouldn't have heaven as our home. We wouldn't have God as our Father. And so don't ask for fair, okay? Nobody ought to want fair. Your upbringing doesn't make you a victim. Your handicap doesn't make you a victim, okay? Doesn't make you a victim. Stop taking a handicap and turn it into a victim's mentality. Your poverty does not make you a victim. But your mindset about your poverty can give you a victim's mentality. Your past, no matter what's in your past and what's happened in your past, that might be horrific, horrible, and outside what is normal, you know what? It doesn't make you a victim. But your mindset about your past can give you a victim's mentality. Now, let me say it this way. Hey, that young man over there, preacher, I wanted to let you know he's a victim of domestic violence. By the way, I hate that. Everything I'm going to list right now, I hate, I wish would never happen to anybody. But I'm going to say something. I want you to hear me. He's a victim of domestic violence. Well, isn't that sad? Because he could be a victor over domestic violence. It's going to get tougher. Preacher, nobody knows this, but that lady, she's a victim of rape. By the way, can I say this? I hate that. If I had my way, you know what I've said before from this pulpit? It would be a death penalty sin. And I don't mean sitting on death row for 15 years. I mean, you know what? Let's just take them down the town square, find a light pole somewhere, and let's just get it done. I mean, that's how this preacher feels about it. I hate that. But when I hear someone say, well, she's a victim of rape, can I tell you something? I've met hundreds of ladies that are victors over rape, not victims of rape. If you're not careful, you're going to take one thing that happened in your life and you're going to let the devil let that thing. I mean, this matter of child abuse and child sexual abuse. Folks, it's an epidemic in our nation. An epidemic. And again, Jerry Ross becomes president and I'm thinking about running. All right, I'm just going to go ahead and put my name out there. You know, I've looked around at what is running and thought, well, why not? And, shoot, I could work part-time and do better than those guys. So, you know, I mean, it comes down to me or Hillary. I hope I would win. But now, come on, think about this. Think about this. Man, if I got to where I could affect the laws, again, I'm making a death penalty sin. You say, well, that's not very Christian of you. No, it's exactly Christian of me. Jesus said, you offend one of these little ones, better for you to have a millstone tied around your neck and cast into the sea. Okay, so give me a boat, short rope, millstone. Amen. I mean, somebody that wants to sexually abuse a child. Yeah, I'll take him out on a boat. I'll come back by myself. I'll sleep that night. Preacher, you're hard. We need some hard men in America right now. We need to get back to some hard men in America right now. Okay? And but you know what? That's in a lot of people's lives. I mean, I'm just telling you facts. I mean, me and my wife have sat and caught too many tears. Okay? But listen to me. Are you going to spend your life being a victim of abuse, or are you going to become a victor over abuse? I know these are tough things, but you know what? The devil is going to try to make you a victim the rest of your life over one thing, and because of that one thing, it's going to hold you back from everything that God really wants you to be and do. And if you don't, listen, refuse to be a victim. Through the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be more than conquerors through him that loved you, okay? She's a victim of divorce, or he's a victim of divorce. Boy, I hate that. I hate that. I've watched people that have had to go through that. And by the way, I want to remind Blessed Hope Baptist Church, there are victims of divorce. There are people that, if they had their way, it would have never happened. They didn't want it to happen. They didn't wish it to happen. But it happened. But you know what? I've also watched these people say, you know what? I'm not going to be a victim of divorce. I'm going to be a victor over divorce. Right. By the way, those people are my heroes. No? Well, he's just a victim of some bad decisions. Well, that's pretty much all of us, all right? Why don't we decide to become a victor over bad decisions? Sure. Well, that family, they're victims of a financial reversal. Well, I think that God can make you a victor over financial reversals. Okay? Well, preacher, you hear this a lot. She's just a victim of her circumstances. Well, you know what? Why don't you become a victor over your circumstance? What are you doing, preacher? I'm taking some of the hardest issues and putting them right in the middle of the table and say, are you going to spend the rest of your life? Listen, I'll sit here and I'll weep with you and I'll pray with you and I'll hate that that's in your life with you, but I am not going to sit beside you and enable you to spend your life being a victim over those things, because that is not what God wants you to do. And when Jesus Christ saved you, he put everything inside of you to allow you to have victory over everything that I've listed and things that I didn't mention. So you've got to decide, am I going to be a victim over my circumstance, or am I going to become a victor over my circumstances? So are you going to allow something negative that's happened to you to define you? This is a question you've got to kind of look in the mirror sometime and ask. And, you know, am I going to allow something that's happened in my past to define me for the rest of my life? Or am I going to give into this victim's mentality? Or am I going to get into the Word of God and learn how to have a victor's mentality, a victor's view of that? And I hate to point out anybody, but I'm going to tell you something. If you don't know Jared's story, you ought to sit down and talk to Jared one of these days. And Jared went through some things in his growing up years that I'm not comfortable enough, because I don't know how comfortable you are. And he has been so open to talk to me about it. And I don't know if I've talked to anybody that has a better view of things that God allowed in your life. And yet he has such a healthy viewpoint of how he sees God using those things to help him be better in so many areas of his life. And I'm going to talk you into writing a book or something one of these days, because folks, most of you don't know the half of what's in the past of the people around you. But let me just say, that guy right there has every right, if he wanted to spend every day of his life and bitterness, clinging on to a victim's mentality. And that's not an overstatement. But you know what? I think he just got in this book and he figured it out. And if he can do it, and other people around you can do it, you can do it. You can do it. So don't let the devil get you into that vicious cycle. Preacher, get into it. How do we overcome it? What's the secret to victory over a victim's mentality? 1 John 5:4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. our faith. You see, folks, Christians, when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, all of a sudden we are empowered by something that the world doesn't have. They don't have the weapon that we have. Faith in God. Faith in God. Faith in God. Yes, first of all, saving faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's a gift to God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So certainly that saving faith gives us something the world doesn't have, but also the command to live by faith. You know, the Bible says in Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, Hebrews 10:38, three different times, the just shall live by faith. So yes, we are saved by faith, but we're to live by faith. And what's that? Living by faith is simply this: faith in the God of the Bible, faith in the Bible of the God. You know what? I'm going to put my faith and trust in God that He would not and did not allow anything in my life that was not necessary for me to accomplish whatever God's will for my life is. Okay? Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the, I love that. Let me just slow down. And the life which I now live in the flesh, that's my Christian life, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. How do you become a victor instead of a victim? Number one, have faith. Well, get this. Have faith in the goodness of God. Amen. Have faith in the goodness of God. Okay? Folks, listen to me. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. I didn't say everything that the devil does is good. I didn't say everything that has happened to you is good. I'm saying God is good. God is good. The Bible says this over and over again, Psalms 27:13. I love this. Think about how important this faith in the goodness of God was in the life of David. He said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. You know what kept him from fainting was his belief in the goodness of God. Psalms 31:19, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. Psalms 52:1, why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. You know, David just goes back this theme over and over again. Psalms 25:8, good and upright is the Lord. Psalms 34:8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Psalms 86:5, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto all that call upon him. Psalms 100, verse 5, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, his truth endureth unto all generations. Psalms 118, verse 129, verse 29 and 136, 1, all say the same thing. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Amen. Now listen, folks, you just need to settle something, because what will happen is that bad things will come into your life. Okay, every good gift cometh from above, okay, from the Father of lights. But the devil will bring bad things into our life, and then he'll jump over on our shoulder and whisper into our ear, boy, isn't God terrible to you? Now think about this. I tell folks, if you're going to get mad, at least get mad at the right person, okay? Something bad happens, it wasn't God that did it. God is good. But the devil likes to, you know, sneak around. He's the man behind the curtain. He doesn't want to be seen or identified. He's always trying to stir up strife and launch attacks. And he will hurt somebody or defeat somebody or cause a problem somewhere. And then, you know, he will then run around on our shoulder and say, boy, God's just not been good to you. Boy, listen, folks, I settled this a long time ago. When we say this and we run through this every once in a while, it's for a purpose. God is good. All the time. God is good. All the time. You know what? You have to keep saying it over and over again. You know why? Because to fight off the devil and his accusation. Well, God's good to them. I don't know why he's good to them and not good to me. God's good to everybody. God is good to everybody. And by the way, just because you see some of the blessings of their life doesn't mean that they don't have heartache. They don't have trials. They don't have troubles. You know, everybody for some time wanted to do something to show a little bit of my appreciation. But on the drive back, I was talking to Jeff. And it's interesting when you get a group of men like that together. And we were just talking, and God blessed our fellowship, blessed our time. It was a sweet thing. But he really just began to open up about, you know, him and Jenny and what they went through in losing Cooper. And you know what he did? He spent the next several minutes just telling me how they have looked at that situation and all of the things that God has done out of that situation that wouldn't have happened if God had not taken Cooper. And he said, you know what? I love what he said at the end. He said, Pastor, I am not the same man that I was before that happened. And you know what? To allow something that bad and just have faith in the eventual good that God's going to bring this to good in my life. I mean, I knew Jeff before. And by the way, Jeff was a great guy before. But there is a tenderness in him that wasn't there before. There's a depth of compassion that wasn't there before. There's ability to reach out and help hurting people that wasn't there before. Now, if you want to, if they wanted to, Jeff and Jenny Reiser could be sitting at home right now, bitter Christians, because God killed our little baby. They could have quit their bus route. Come on. They could have quit serving God. And there's a bunch of people sitting at home, Christians. And by the way, shame on them. I don't care what's happened in your life. Shame on you if you let it allow you to quit on God. Because what you're saying is, I don't have faith in the goodness of God, and I don't have faith that God knows more than I do. And that if he allows something in my life, it's going to produce what I call the promised eventual good. So even though while I'm going through it, I can't understand it, I don't see it, Lord, I don't get this. I don't have to get it. I just have to have faith that eventually God's going to take that set of circumstances and bring something into my life, out of my life, that's going to produce something that would never have happened. One of the things he said was this. He said, you know, me and Jenny even talked about, now by the way, we've had two heart babies since then. Two or three? Three? Yours? Case? Is it just two then? Yes. And he said, you know, now watch this. Wouldn't it be easy for them to say, well, they had babies that had that? Come on, I'm getting down to where it's real, folks. And why did God let their babies, they're enjoying their children today. And you know what Jeff said? He said, we talked about that. Because, you know, I'm just the kind of guy that will ask the question. He said, you know, we talked about that. He said, we've watched what these families have gone through. And he said, we know how that has changed the course of their life. And he said, you know what? He said, we've often said, would we have had the three girls if our life had been tied up for the next 5 years? And what would we have missed? And what plan does God have for? Now listen, folks. I just want to take my shoes off because I feel like I'm walking on holy ground. When a couple can go through something that horrific and come out of it and say, we believe God is good. And we believe that God has a promised eventual good in the things that he allows in our life. And we are not going to throw accusation against God. And we are going to be faithful to God. And we are going to serve God. And we are going to love God. We need examples like that in this church, and we don't have just that one example. We have them sitting all around you. Any Christian that's sitting home bitter over something right now, I can show them 10 Christians that have gone through the exact same thing that are sitting in the pew faithful to God. Listen, it hasn't anything to do with what's happened to you. It has everything to do with your thinking about it. And if you want that to become what makes you a victim, and now you've got an excuse the rest of your life to be mad at God and mad at everybody else, and life isn't fair, then the devil has won. But I don't want the devil to win in my life. So whatever the Lord allows, you know what? Let's never lose faith in the goodness of God. Let's never lose faith in the eventual promised good, even though we may not understand it at the moment. I've run over a few minutes, but I just felt like we got to a place where we needed to stay. Heavenly Father, thank you. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us all, because, Lord, we all battle this. This isn't, it's sometimes easy to teach. It's hard to live. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless, dear God. There's nobody in this room that hasn't faced some horrifically horrible, hard things that sometimes we still scratch our head and don't really understand. But Lord, I pray that we would never doubt your goodness, and we would put our faith in the promised eventual good. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.